that? All right, the same rules apply to the second session as the first. Let's proceed forward with what we're dealing with here. We have a command repeated two times in verse 4, repeated in other verses, and that is the command to rejoice at all times under all kinds of varying circumstances. Sounds like a large order on the surface, and it is, but for the mature believer who is occupied with Christ, occupied with doctrine, claiming God's promises, thinking about truth. See, it isn't just here you think about it. You meditate on it. Out when you're when you have time to, and you know, everybody has time, you know, which we spend with a radio on or something to entertain ourselves. You need to have quiet time. You need to think about these things. You can't think from an empty chamber, you know. You have to have your weapon loaded, or it isn't doing you any good. You can throw it at somebody, but it isn't going to do you any good. Maybe I shouldn't be talking about guns now. It's guns that are all the problems in this country. They just jump up and start shooting people. I mean, it is so crazy. It is so crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's like, hey, by the way, you know, it'd be like standing on a verse in the Bible. This is what the Bible says. I'm standing on it. You can scream and throw rocks at me and yell and do all the things you want. That's what the verse says. Well, the Constitution says I have a right to have a weapon. And it's the law of the land. And for all the big establishment-minded types that want to obey the police and the authorities, which you should, how about that one? Everyone's bound by it. And all these people in Washington took an oath to uphold that. Maybe they ought to ban cars. And everything else we can kill ourselves with. I mean, it's stupid. The country has lost its mind. Well, they're killing people. That's right. They need, and this kind, this is last day's violence. And you take cities that have banned guns, the crime rate is through the roof. Go to Chicago. A no-gun zone. Oh, that's lovely. The state that has the most guns per capita has the fewest bad crimes. I think it's Minnesota. All those people carry them in their pickups. I mean, they're not going to go in there. You know, anybody starts shooting up anything, they're dead. You know, the mentality of this country, the liberalism and the mentality is just unreal. There are still people, like someone was telling me, and I don't watch this, and it's not because I'm not trying to be play self-righteous here, but it's called The View, where they get on and scream and yell at each other about it. And you're supposed to have your own view, right? This is another freedom we have, freedom of expression. God knows all the idiots are expressing what they believe. And they had a couple actors on there that they tried to get them all upset. And one was a female. Trying to get them all, it's on YouTube, trying to get them all upset about this. You know, once you get them all mad, not a fellowship and screaming and yelling, that's not helpful. It is not helpful in any discourse. Did you notice that? Okay, that's a freebie today. That isn't helpful. They stayed cool and calm. They didn't budge an inch. It's my right. It is my God-given right to protect myself and my family. And how am I going to protect myself when a criminal that doesn't give a flip about the rules has guns and wants to kick in my door and I'm standing there helpless? It's a biblical principle too. You have a right to defend yourself. And that, you know, and all the side issues of accidents with guns. People have accidents with drugs. Prescription drugs. They have accidents with matches. I mean, people have all kinds of accidents. You can't put people in a situation where there's nothing that they could have an accident from. I tripped and practically killed myself. I blame that desk in there that had a sharp edge on it. I'm going to sue the manufacturer. We live in a dangerous world. Have you noticed? Get yourself in fellowship. Pray about things. Now, and don't go to the wrong places. Now, if you want to go to crazy bars and places where everyone's brawling, you get what you deserve. No, stay away from that. Just use your head about things. And a maniac in traffic that wants to come up behind you and just right on you, and then you get all ticked off, start hitting your brakes, then they pull around you, and then they're doing it, and you got road rage, and you got a maniac on the road. There's nothing better to do. You have to know how to and this all pays off getting yourself in fellowship. You see them driving crazy, don't mimic them. Let them go fast. Let them get ahead. It isn't a spiritual issue. God isn't going, yes, he won the race. You know, it's the Christian life. Go ahead. All right, let's get back to what we're supposed to be doing here. So Paul does not have in mind superficial happiness. He has happiness that is dependent on when things are going well. Also, I think I gave you that one. Where I'm at here. Excuse me a second. I got this. Excuse me. I gave you that one, the 2:17 one I gave you. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. All these Christians, and they face the same thing. It's not something new. And it's always a part of the angelic conflict. And that we're outnumbered. But we're on top. We're going to win. When this is all said and done. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. See, you need to copy somebody. You need to mimic somebody. You know, who's the best? Here, Paul says, "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord." That's the chain. You imitated us. You got doctrine in your soul, and you start acting, thinking, and operating like we do. You became imitators of us. You had a living, positive apostle and company in front of you, how they handle themselves, the truth, yes, the truth they communicate, the truth they live. You saw that, you observed that, and you modeled yourself after that. That's why the Thessalonians, they really did it quick, and they did it. If you go study Acts, you'll find out this. Paul wasn't there a long time, very short time by any standard. And these people just came front and center. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. We're not imitate. It's not just following our example. We imitated the Lord during his time on earth. And so we're all a reflection of that. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. And here's how you did it. Having received the word, communication of doctrine, in much tribulation with joy. You did not let the tribulation rob you, sap you of your joy. People want to be happy. Normal people want to be happy. And everyone has their ideas of what would make them happy. This is the formula that never quits. This is perfect. This works for everybody. You get with doctrine, you can have happiness, even in your adversity. With the joy of the Holy Spirit. This is Spirit-produced joy. This is not cosmos-produced, natural-world-produced joy. No normal person would have joy in the midst of having people on their case. But people are on your case for the truth. You can rejoice in it. Please listen to me. You can rejoice in it. Let them say their nasty stuff. Kick in fellowship. I'm getting SG3. I'm on the right side of the truth. What can man do to me? So I lose something. A friend, even a spouse, you can imagine in these churches. Everyone came, their whole family didn't come with them. Their family was on their case. The patriarch of the family giving them a big lecture of what traitors they were and how stupid this whole crucified Jesus thing was. I can just hear speeches, these people. And you continue down that road, you can forget, and then here comes the deal. No inheritance. I'm looking at a different inheritance, but you don't have to tell them that. They don't understand it. Pie in the sky. This would have been yours. Bye-bye. God is my gold. God is my gold. He's got everything I need for every day and every minute of my life. I just got to try to pray and follow His will to really, you know, cash in. Temporally, too. Not just up there. Temporally. I want the blessings He has for me down here. I don't want the wrong things, even under my STI. I'm thinking, no, that probably wouldn't work. And besides, it's temporal. But you know better than I do, God. So, you know, you told me certain things I'm not getting because they don't ask. Put it in my little pathetic brain what I need to ask for. And I'll let my request be made known to you. And if I got a health problem, then I'm going to pray about it. I got this problem, I got that problem, I got a people problem, I'm going to pray about it. Because I want to live at peace with everybody. You following that imperative? Oh, I won't talk to that person anymore. I don't have anything to do with them. Why? What did they do? Are they in such a bad reversionistic state that you cannot legitimately associate with them? Is that it? You need to ask yourself these things. Yes, people take us off. People get under our nerves. People have STAs. We're a family. You know. But we have to get over it. If we are going to be healthy spiritually. You discriminate against people. I'll hug that person and say hi and be all happy and bubbly. This person, I give them the stoic, you know, it's just like cold air around me. They know it. Don't be stupid. They know it. But you know what their response ought to be? I'm going to grace that person out. I'm going to walk in love. That's the weapon that overcomes that. That overcomes love. Believe it or not, love, Christian love, fruit of the Spirit, this overcomes all of this kind of stuff. It covers a multitude of sins. It will dominate the landscape. Of the Christian virtues, love dominates the landscape. And we're told to walk in love. Love the brethren. We're told that. No, that doesn't mean you have to agree with stupidity. But it doesn't mean you have to throw sand in their face either. You can be kind. You can, in fellowship, genuinely, what you think to be your worst enemy, say, hello, hi, how you doing? You don't even have to add how you're doing, because everybody says, how you doing? Everyone says, I'm doing good. You know they're not. What are the chances that everybody you ever met was doing good when you said that to them? Well, I've had my socks tested off today, but you know God's with me, and we're going to work through this. He's my helper. This is really reassuring to me. He's my shield. He's my helper. Just as I would not let a dependent child go without, and I would be there for them, even and also discipline. I'm not going to tell them everything they want to hear and give them every little gift they want. Because I ain't doing them any good with that. But I'm going to be there for them. God's going to be there for me. He's a better father than any earthly father. The best one that ever lived. Because He's got more resources. He's got more information. He sees it all. Past, present, future. He reads the heart. Everyone tell you when they're on your case, you don't know my heart. And you know, there's some truth in that. Well, I just see that you're not doing this right. You do not know my heart. You do not know me. You look at the Bible and you sit there, yeah, I agree with it. There's so much to understand. I'm still learning stuff. Well, you have two choices. Repent, line up with it, or harden your heart. Stick your heels in one more time. It won't come out good for you. It will not. I'm trying, and that's one of the ways it can produce unity around here. People get along with each other. A lot of times, you know, we just studied the deal with the two wonderful women, otherwise, in the Philippian church that were isolated from each other and who had been buddy-buddy. And it was not legitimate. Oh, I'm sure in the day they both thought they were standing on solid ground. But that tune got worn real thin by the passage of time. Time heals all wounds. Wounds all heals. Whatever. I thought that was a funny one. The Thessalonians, and one more for your consideration here is James 1:2. He says it again in a different way. Okay. Went the wrong direction. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Yeah, right. That's the comeback from the flesh. Yeah, right. But it isn't based on, oh, goody, goody, I'm suffering today. I'm a masochistic believer. I enjoy this. Pile more on me. That's not the point. He explains it in the next verse. Knowing that the testing of your faith, what's on trial here? What's under examination? I'm positive. I've got doctrine. Okay, now that's going to be tested. And any of you who have been here any amount of time can say amen to that. I've been tested. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. That's a given. We don't want to think like that, but many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He has an escape hatch. Some people get to go to heaven. That's the ultimate escape hatch. There's others too. He delivers you from these things. And some things will be delivered by death or rapture. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Does that trip your trigger? You're in an endurance race. This isn't a sprint. If it was a sprint, I'd have a lot of people to show for that. They hopped on board here and they were gung-ho, and that's the greatest thing ever came down, and I was a godsend and blah, blah, blah. But that faded. Things happen that they allow to upset their faith in the truth. I'm tempted to leave from time to time. I've been tempted to throw in the towel. Who isn't? I'm just being honest. Then I think of the consequences. And I pull my stupidity back in line. That I even thought about that. They're so damn smart, I'll just let them figure it out. They'll see a sign when they come to church. Well, it's not going to, by God's grace, it's not going to happen. No? They can act right up. You know, get all on my STA, get all upset with you because you're not doing right and some of you are this or that. I can't do that. I've been there, done that, seen all the failures of believers. And by the way, I'm going to be here for you as an individual. I'm not going to cater to your stupidity. Not because you're my friend or you've been here for 50 years. That isn't where it's at. But I'm going to stand for the truth. And if you're beleaguered, I'm going to stand for you. In other words, your shepherd is going to defend you if you can be defended. That's a qualification. If you can be defended, I will defend you. I'll defend you against all threats and all comers. I will. Because what can somebody do to me? Threats? They threaten Jesus, they threaten the apostles, they threaten the prophets, all these people. And that's why they're going to stand in the winner's circle. The elite of the elite in phase 3, in a resurrection body. The glory that's going to come to them. They suffered like Christ did. And they didn't pull any punches. They didn't have to do it perfect either, did they? Jonah didn't have to do it perfect. That's an amazing one, isn't it? I like to look at those people too. No Fundy would have given Jonah any time of day. Let him go west. He isn't committed to the Lord. I can just see the Fundies on that one. No, he wasn't committed to the Lord. But there was something underneath that made him tick. And God's great sense of humor, wicked sense of humor sometimes, I'm sending Jonah to Nineveh. That's your assignment, boy. Get packing and give the gospel to those nasty Assyrians. Hell no, I'm not going. He got a call to go. Imagine you get a call from God. Go to Assyria. Or something, that place you do not want to go. You don't like the people there. You don't like anything about them. And they deserved their bad press. And, but God said, go. I'm not going there. I'm going to catch the first boat out of the port here. And I'm going to head west. They'll never hear from me again. God can get somebody else to go. Adventures on the high seas, like you never, ever could imagine. And God takes him in his grace and uses him as an illustration of Christ's resurrection, among other things. And when that fish finally vomited him out, and that had to be nasty. And kept him alive inside this monster fish. The fish is just a tool. Just put in the right place at the right time. From being a minnow all the way up. That fish. Got a plan for that fish. So I see Jonah on the shore. The shore he left. Covered in seaweed. Stinking. And if I was doing a movie, I'd have his skin as white as a bed sheet, because the acid in the fish sucks all of that pigment out momentarily. He looked like an albino. So when he walked into Nineveh, there was no makeup artist, nothing. And he treated them rough. He didn't say, "Oh, you dear people. You so-and-sos. You're going to hell. And I'm going to cheer when this comes down." But anyway, here's how you get saved. And the Ninevites, "Well, I'm leaving that church. I'm leaving that." He was offensive. They were all ears. "You can call me dirt. You can call me trash. But you're giving me the truth. And that's what I need." And they turned to the Lord. And Nineveh pouted. He didn't have any shade. He wanted shade. So God caused a plant to grow. Another miracle in the book. The fish one overshadows it all. But the plant that grew up suddenly and just went nuts. And he had shade. And he still wasn't happy. I'm sure he got his act together down the road. We asked the question, "Do you think he got much SG3 for this?" Well, that remains to be seen. God said, "But I want you to write your story down for posterity." And he tells on himself. Wouldn't you, if that happened to you, wouldn't you want to tell? If God wants you to write it down, I'm writing this down. You know, so how many people went through what I went through? God has a special role for everyone to play. And he has a special role for you, too. All right, so you have need of endurance. Endurance, this is an endurance race. Long haul. And it isn't paved with everything you want it your way. Some of you had some bad things come down on you. People-induced, maybe self-induced. I don't care. God doesn't care. As long as you're on track. This is your goal. If somebody did something bad to you, you can't spend the rest of your life hating their guts. "They did this. They betrayed me." "Oh, you're the first person that was ever betrayed. That's really interesting. I don't know how you're the only one." "They betrayed our Lord and he was perfect. And I know you weren't. He did nothing but good for people and gave them the truth. And that's what they did to him. Because they didn't like his doctrine. They liked his miracles. Who wouldn't? I could heal people around here. You couldn't get on this property. Dummies would be coming from every direction to get healed. I give them 30 minutes of doctrine. Oh, okay, I got to get through this so I can get healed. They don't want to hear the truth. Now, that wasn't true of everybody Jesus healed, obviously. But it was a majority. His words were more important than his works, and his works were very important. His words were truth. They had the Son of God in front of them, and they rejected him corporately. Individuals didn't, but corporately. So what we have today. It's the same thing. Nothing's new. We don't get our eyes on, well, there's not very many people in one doctrine. You're no kidding. As it was in the days of Noah, things may change. I don't think they will dramatically. Because people in the last days, especially in America, it's not a good environment for evangelization too. There really isn't. They don't want to hear the doctrine. They want to make a church. They want a band up front. They want a playroom for the kids. A baseball team. A singles ministry. It never ends. You got to catch everything, don't you? Recovering drug addicts. Oh, man. All of it. This is where a recovering drug addict needs to be. Right in here under Bible doctrine. Get cleaned up. Get your head on straight. Get away from that mess. Pray about it. It's hard to do. Yeah, well, we've had people do it. Put your trust in God. You'd be amazed what He can do with you. Turn things around in your situation. But you've got to trust Him. You've got to keep beating on that door. Some things are just a test to get you to, I prayed about that. I give up. Great. You don't give up. You keep on keeping on. I have to spur myself on too. I got this spiritual lethargy thing that wants to kick in. Although it is activated by favorable circumstances, Paul gives examples of where plus H is activated by favorable circumstances. In other words, other people applying doctrine. That always, you see that. You know, when I see someone come here and they're genuinely interested, oh, your boyfriend brought you. He's a bump on a log. He sits here. And he was here in diapers. But you're like, bam. I'd think twice before I married him. Honestly. You want to marry lukewarm? You get lukewarm. Oh, you can overcome it. But you're going to have to. If it's all about cosmos, all about this, and not serious about doctrine. And I know you're a young person, and you don't, because you're young, you know, just reached adulthood, etc., doesn't give you a pass. I was there. My focus was following God. With all my limitations, all my weaknesses, was to follow God, to find the truth. It took me a while, but God's patient. He's very patient with us. But beyond a point, you wear that one thin. So you need to understand it. If you're not like-minded, you say, well, they go to Maranatha. That does not give you a pass. Go to Maranatha doesn't give you a pass. It's what you're doing with the doctrine you've been getting. I don't care if you're here from day one. You're a fixture. But you are not active in the truth. That's where it's at. The truth is what matters. Is there anything that one could argue against that? That in time, oh yes, I know, there are things out there dangled in front of all of us that are attractive. But that isn't where my happiness is. I enjoy things. Oh, obviously. But I've not let that destroy me. I've taken hits from it, but everybody takes hits. It's just, I don't know, as you get older spiritually in Christ and you grow, and I don't want to, this can be misused terribly, but anything I say can be, is that a lot of this stuff's losing its charm. Because there's this conflict within you between the things you see and the things in the world that can be fun and enjoyable and pleasant. And okay. That's why a lot of rich people aren't happy. They can sit around, drink the best wine, drive off in a $250,000 automobile, get on their private plane and go visit forever. But they see the end coming. And piling it on higher and deeper doesn't make you happier and happier. It's a funny thing about that. A garage full of antiques and special automobiles, and you collect them. There's these guys collect cars. Oh, they're all cool looking. You can only drive one of them. And if you take it out in public, they'll probably key it. Then you've got to insure all of them. And you can boast that you have a rare whatever. This is what people do. We know this. We see it. Yesterday's heroes. What are they today? Yesterday's celebrities. What are they today? If they're not dead and got their name in some museum, some hall of fame, they're forgotten. The younger generation, they don't remember. Willie Mays. I really date myself, don't I? I saw him play. I saw him in St. Louis. When he was young and fast. And I saw those guys. I saw the tail end of that generation. I was real young, man. I was like in high school, but still. You know, so what? It was a part of my life. Moses traded it all so he could take grief from a bunch of Jews. I mean, that's one way to look at it. So he would never be appreciated by the Jews of his generation. Now he's a hero, right? Moses. Well, he traded it all. He traded his Egyptian citizenship, made himself a hunted criminal with a price on his head, just so he could live long enough to see how God would bring the Jews out of Egypt. Little did he know the role he would play. God knew his heart. Looking at him, all you saw was a stern Egyptian, a non-Egyptian, a crypto-Hebrew, we call him. Hidden, that means. That's what this is about. Now, you may not have to give up anything as glamorous. It may be not even glamorous what you gave up. And where you're at isn't glamorous at all. Nobody would want to say, oh, I'm signed up for that. Who cares? The glamour comes later. The glamour is waiting for us. But you gave up something. You sacrificed something to be at Maranatha Church and be under Bible doctrine. You may have sacrificed the environment. You really liked it where you lived. And it could have been like, you know, I don't know about paradise, but anyway, your paradise, your cup of tea, you gave that up to be here in windy, unpredictable, weather-wise Oklahoma that's now enjoying earthquakes. We didn't have enough going on. Go figure. I always thought, well, at least we don't have earthquakes. That's what I got for opening my mouth. But see, all this is a short time. We're going to be out of here. Just stay. Yes, I've had tragedies in my life. I've had sadnesses. I've had things go down. Yes. Rise up from the ashes. Stand up for the truth. Keep on keeping on. It's an endurance race. You have to have endurance. This is not the 100-yard dash. So you know if you have in your head that kind of thinking, and I know it takes time. You don't just learn it in Bible class. Go, oh, I got that down. Yeah. Go out and be tested. And then think about it in terms of, this is producing in me endurance. That's phenomenal. Because it's not just some random thing that's just in my way. No, it's producing endurance. God knows what He's doing. Put another way, that wouldn't be happening to you if it wasn't going to work for your good. So you chalk it up. You think, well, I'm not perfect. Well, we know that. We're fully aware, if we've been around you any amount of time, that you're not perfect. But we don't care about that part. Obviously, God doesn't care about it either. Jesus learned obedience by the things He suffered. You didn't think you think obedience training in dogs. Some of you, there's no obedience training in your pets. None. Zip, 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 zip. Others got them all lined out, man. They do roll over, jump up, do whatever, open the door, go outside. Jesus learned obedience by the things He suffered. You wouldn't think Jesus would have to be taught obedience, would you? That He'd just have this all automatically and all everything figured out. He had to grow up spiritually. He had to take in Bible doctrine in His humanity. And He had to learn obedience through suffering. And if you're suffering, unless you're a negative person and you've just written this all off, if you're at all serious about this, then you're going to suffer. And the things you're going to be tested in is designed to get you to the next level. Do you think any of those athletes that do well never are tested? They can just eat whatever they want and run out there and do anything, and then it's just magical and they win. No, they're tested. They get hurt. They get beat. They get this. They get that. All to get, possibly, to stand on some podium and get cheered on. And then another one will come along and take their place. But nobody needs to take your place. You just keep on to the end. I hope I'm not boring you this morning. I'm talking about eternal things. I'm trying to get everybody's attention, even if you're in a bad spot. Put there by yourself, let's say. You've got to be intellectually honest about that. You can't say it's everybody else's fault, and it isn't my fault, and I don't do anything wrong, and I'm okay. Well, then I can't help you. I can't help you. You know, no physician can help us with that mentality. So, it is achieved by experiencing favorable circumstances. There's examples given there. Rather, is a kind of joy that can be experienced always. That's the high bar. Always. Because it is not tied to changing circumstances, but on the one who does not change. That's what it's based on. But it takes something to get your mentality right on that. A moment, an STA, and woe is me, and down and out, and all the rest, and away, and you go down that path, that isn't helpful. That isn't helpful. People always used to tease me, I don't want you to be up there to teach the doctrine of testing again. Like you're superstitious. I know, I'm sympathetic with you. I think it's funny. I know you didn't really mean that. Obviously, you're not going to be tested in any area. We have all the principles of testing. It's like a tailor-made suit. It doesn't sort of fit. Yeah, but the sleeves are too long. No, it fits. You know it the minute you put it on. It's perfect. So God's sufferings over your life are perfect. Think back of all the things you've suffered as a positive believer. Now, the stuff before that was just to get your attention and get you under doctrine. That was good too, if that's what it took. Some events happened in your life. You've told me stories. Individuals here have told me stories. Practically got killed. But that's what it took to get me wide awake to Bible doctrine. So, in the Christian life, our blessings, we all say they're God-sent, God-given, don't we? We always, right time, it's coming up in Ecclesiastes, right time for everything. There's a time for everything. Time for love, a time for this, a time for that, a time to die, everything. is set up. And his plan's all set up so that our adversities, the cosmos can't claim this. This back to my analogy, they're headed down to the dead end. Ours work together for good. Even and especially, maybe, divine discipline. You said, day doesn't go by, I don't get divine discipline. Okay. You have to interpret things correctly. Just because you stubbed your toe doesn't mean you are just, your mental attitude's all screwed up. It might. I mean, there's common human problems. Things happen. But everything God is working together for your good, because He loves you. And He knows you have a sin nature, and He knows that you have these limitations. And as I said, even Christ learned obedience by the things He suffered. And He took the low road. Cosmically speaking, He took the low road, which is the road to glory and eternal fame for Him. All right, we'll end it here. I'll see you next time. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, take these words and produce divine good in believers. In Christ's name, amen.